Okay, we said a number of things yesterday. We learned what praying in the name is, isn't it? We started looking at that, and I'm sure that affected our religious sensibilities in terms of what praying in the name of Jesus is. It's different from some things we've taught. And I want to implore us that do your possible best to get the messages from the first day till now. You'll have a more comprehensive understanding, because there's some things we're going to say. It's not everything that we have said that we can repeat, but there's so much in this few days that we have used to teach, just 12 days now, this is a 12th day, that it's important that you listen to each of the messages to get a full comprehension, so that you can maximize the knowledge that's been passed across. It's so important. This is very different from what we have been traditionally taught. So I want to please implore us to pay close attention to those teachings by making sure that you avail yourselves of them, and then from there we will move on and be able to walk in the liberty that is already ours. Philippians in chapter 2, we are coming to a close. So sometimes when you're coming to a close, well, a close, not in the sense that we can't go on, but because at least as far as the seminar is concerned, but it's not exactly that I've finished every thought that I need to communicate about this. So I will we will see if there's a necessity, if it's necessary to still teach along these lines, midweek service next week. We'll see if that's necessary. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Let's see what the scriptures teach. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, that translation is loose. The Bible doesn't say it was in the form of God. He actually was God. He was God, not just form. He was God. He thought it not robbery, or he didn't see it as something to be grasped at. He didn't think it was an overestimation to be called God, because he actually was God. So he says, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That means he did it voluntarily, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 8 is an explanation of the fact that Jesus had to grow like a man. He was limited to the emotions of a man. He wasn't exercising his godhead rights or powers or privileges. He was limited to mankind or humanity. Humanity prevailed. So he didn't exercise any special virtue or power as God. He was actually functioning strictly as a man. You know, if he wasn't functioning as a man, he wouldn't have needed to be anointed. How will God anoint God? So he was anointed because he actually functioned as a man when he was upon the earth. So the Bible says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Now again, he says that at the name of Jesus. And in that verse of scripture, we notice something significant, that he didn't say at the mention. We had a dimension. He didn't say at the mention. So we say that praying in the name of Jesus or using the name of Jesus is not the same thing as mentioning the name of Jesus. Is it right to mention the name of Jesus? Yes. But mentioning the name of Jesus should not be mistaken for using the name of Jesus. Because you can mention the name of Jesus and not be using the name of Jesus. Amen. Very important. So we've sometimes mistaken mentioning the name for using the name. Anyone can mention the name. But using the name means you're walking in the reality of the name. That's what it means to use the name. So whether you're using the name or you are praying in the name, is that you are appropriating the rights and privileges that are pertaining to the name. And sometimes when you're doing that, you don't need to mention the name. And I will show us through the scriptures that many times the name was appropriated, the rights were appropriated, and the name was not even mentioned. I have ministered to the sick many times without using the name of Jesus, or without mentioning the name of Jesus, but I was using the name of Jesus. I was standing in the authority of that name to pray for the sick, and saw them healed, and to rebuke evil forces, and saw people delivered. But I was using the name. I didn't necessarily mention the name. Hallelujah. So we need to see the difference. Then in John chapter 14, and we said John's Gospel chapter 14, well, from chapter 13 really, we find the last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he went to the cross. And we focus mainly on verse 12 and 13. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. and greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And so we stayed on that last phrase, I go unto my Father, is the reason why greater works will be available. As I am now in the flesh, as I am now as Jesus of the four Gospels, the same works that I do, you'll be able to do in my name after I go to the Father. So he wasn't speaking of the authority of his name when he was present with them. Whatever authority his name will carry was an authority that was futuristic, or an authority he will have when he goes to the Father. And so in this series, we've examined what does it mean when he says, I will go to the Father. We saw in Hebrews chapter 1, and from verse 1, the Bible says concerning sharing, telling us the difference between the office that Jesus occupies and the office that the angels occupy. The Bible says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manners, speaking time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. We know who being the brightness of his glory and express meek his person, after he had by himself, by whom also he made the world, after upholding nothing by the world's fire, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. That right hand is what Jesus was referring to as, I go to my Father. So he was going to a place of authority, a position of honor, a place of exaltation. So whatever he attained by sitting on the Father's right hand is what his name now means. And we saw in this Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 4, look at verse 4, we saw something interesting. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance. I'm going to my Father. This is the explanation of what it means. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we said to obtain a more excellent name is not a reference to J-E-S-U-S. It wasn't the only one bearing J-E-S-U-S. To obtain a more excellent name means that the relationship that that name represents is more excellent than the relationship angels have before the Father. So notice when he says he has obtained a more excellent name, it doesn't mention the angels individually. It just says angels, which is a cadre of being. So he's comparing Jesus' state of existence to the state of existence of angels. He's saying, as far as the order of angels is concerned, and the order that Jesus belongs to is concerned, he has obtained a more excellent name. What is that name? Look at verse 5. Verse 5, please. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? That's the status. That was what he accomplished that gave him the right to sit at the Father's right hand. Thou art my son. He is a son. The name he was given is a name that belongs strictly to sons. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Hallelujah. And that's important, because once we understand that the name is not just the five-letter word J-E-S-U-S, that it stands for sonship, it means that any other person who is born through the same process, that name belongs to you too. Because what God said to him, he said to every other person that was born by the same process. How was he born? He was born out of spiritual death. And because he was born out of spiritual death, we saw that Romans 8:29 calls him the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. And among many brethren implies that we were born the same way. We have the same Father. We share the same inheritance. The same DNA is in us. Okay, and Hebrews chapter 2 now picks it up. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. We're just going over some of the things we looked at. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So he's explaining the process. The one for whom are all things, by whom are all things, is God the Father. In order to bring many sons unto glory, God made the captain of their salvation. So, or of our salvation, perfect through sufferings. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the process by which he went to the cross and he rose again. He made him perfect or mature or complete through the things he suffered. Look at next verse. Verse 11 now. Verse 11. For both he, pay attention to this now, and they, he that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, are all one of one. That's how KJV puts it. If you check out the translations, it says, they all have one Father. They all have one Father. And because we all have the same Father, now, pay attention, this is Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. Because we all have one Father, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. That means you being called brethren is not a figure of speech, it's a fact. Because we have the same father, or we're born through the same process. So what God said to him, he said to us. He said to you also, this day, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus means sonship. That's what his name means now. That's John's Gospel, chapter 14, 2. He said that, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. So he was saying that, there are works I did now in the limited authority I had as the anointed one in the four gospels. But I'm about to occupy a different office, carry a higher authority as Jesus, the exalted one of the epistles. And when I accomplish that honor, that position, greater works than this shall you do. Hallelujah. Are we not doing the greater works now? Yeah, we are doing the greater works now. So it's important that we're able to separate Jesus in the Gospels from Jesus in the Epistles, because they are not the same. Their position is not the same. What the name means in the Gospel is not what it means in the Epistles. It means something far greater. He was the only one who bore the name in the Gospels. But that name is a family name now. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 verse 14. I'm taking us to some things that we have learned, because again, we're going to look again at prayer, because it's important. I want you to get results more in prayer. You know, in the last 1 week or so, that I've had one issue or the other with people who came looking for help or assistance, one or the other. There's not a single one of them who have not come back with a testimony. And all we did was just practice that principle. You know, because your understanding makes a whole lot of difference. I don't have more rights than you have. I may just know more about my rights than you do. But I don't have more. I don't have a greater access. Pastors don't have a superior access to God. A pastor is a son like you are a son. Hallelujah. He just represents God to you because he stands in an office. But he doesn't have a greater standing. No, there's no such thing. And it's important that we recognize that. He is a minister of God to you. To teach you, to instruct you, to encourage you, and to minister God's power to you. Not because he has a greater standing, but because he's just called to stand in an office. And an office means he has something to administrate. Hallelujah. Okay, so, but once you understand that, it's the same standing, the same status. It means we have access to the same thing because we are all joined ears. There's no senior here. There's no senior here. No. We are all what? Joined ears with Christ Jesus. See what it says? For this cause I bow my knees, hallelujah, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are called by that name. The whole family is named that way. Why? We are all sons. We were born of the same father. So we are all one. We are brethren, Adelphos. We come from the same womb. Hallelujah. So we bear the same name. God said the same thing to us. And that's what Jesus has been trying to communicate. Go to John chapter 14 and verse 1. So the things that Jesus tried to teach them and communicate to them in John chapter 14 becomes a bit clearer now. See what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Next verse. In my father's house. My father's household. When you refer to a house here, it's talking about household. So a household is not necessarily a physical house. His household is a family term. So in my father's household. See what it says. There are many mansions or dwelling places. In my father's house, there's room. That's what he's saying. There are many dwelling places. He's not talking about physical mansions. And you know, like I said yesterday, the visions you have are a function of the state of your mind. How in your mind is. That's why people keep seeing, you know, houses in heaven, uncompleted mansions. You know. And some people even think that, you know, God, Jesus is just watching you. Even if it was a duplex before, the way you are misbehaving, it will soon become a single room after a white boy's quarter. That's kind of thinking. Some even saw that their house wasn't completed. Imagine. That's kind of thinking. He's not speaking about anything like a house. He's talking about a dwelling place. He's talking about a relationship. And in that same verse, and the next verse, he explains it. See what he says. In my father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. So if he was talking about the physical house, and he says, listen, if he was talking about the physical house, and the house is already there, what do you need to prepare again? So he couldn't be talking about the physical house, because if it's a physical house, and it's already, let's say it's a physical mansion, then what are you preparing? You need to prepare. There's room in the father's household for many more sons. That's what he's saying. I go to prepare that room. But I will need to go in order to prepare that room. See what he says next. And if I go and prepare a place, or once I accomplish that, I will come again and receive you where? To myself. Why would I come to receive you? See what it says. That where I am, you may want. So, if you understand everything I've said so far, what does it mean to come and receive you to myself? Be intelligent. What does it mean to want you to come and receive you to myself? You become new creations. To receive you to myself means that you now become sons like I'm a son. You now become born again. Salvation is offered, the indwelling of the Spirit. That's what Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. Okay? In Acts 2 verse 33, when he was explaining the gospel, he said, Jesus, he being by the right hand of God exalted, has shed forth this, which you can now see and hear. He gave them the indwelling of the Spirit. That's how the new creation came into being. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I go to prepare a place so that where I am, and that is very important, you may be there also. Now, listen carefully. If where he is where we are, we don't go through his name. We have his name. Listen carefully. Let me say it again. If where he is where we are, and where he is his relationship with the Father, is tying and status, and that's what we have also, we don't go through his name. We have his name. Let me explain what I mean. If the governor of the state is invited to a function and is not able to go, or let me use an illustration. If, for instance, you are going to for a program or for a concert or for an event, and you need a special pass to get in, and you don't have the pass, and then you have an older uncle that's welding, and the uncle says, when you get there, okay, I know you don't have the pass, but when you see any of the organizers of the program, just mention my name. So you should just mention my name. They will say me when I say, just mention my name. So you get there, and they like, they ask you, where's your card? You say that, I actually don't have a card. Then what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And then you say that, but my uncle said I should mention his name. Who's your uncle? Dangote. Oh, okay, you are the one who said, come in. Now, you are using his name to come in. That's not what we have. What we have is that when you come in, Gangote has entered. Do you see the difference? You are not mentioning his name. Your appearance is his appearance. You and he are the same. Hallelujah. Do you understand? You are not representing him. You are him now. Do you understand? So John's gospel, 1 John, sorry, not the epistle of John, 1 John chapter, I'm saying that, that's why it says, for as he is, so are we. It means there's no inferior sonship. It's either you are a son or you are not. Once you are a son, all the rights and privileges come together. There is no younger son or older son. Son is son. Hallelujah. Son is son before the Father. And if you're a son, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is what? Named. You have that name. You have equal rights in that name. You have the same standing in that name. No other son has a moral right to use it. You know, it's interesting that when Jesus arose and said, he never used his name. It means he just obtained the status and the position and the relationship for us, because he wanted us to be where he is. And because we're where he is, we're actually the ones who use his name, because it's now our name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you getting the difference? So it's not delegated authority. It is as he is, so are we. When I'm using his name, I'm not using it to persuade the Father. That's why when I pray using the name, I don't have to mention the name. Okay, that's, let me use Miss Akiyemi. Miss Akiyemi knows the voice of her children. Any of them. She can't mistake them. So imagine that's Neme. So, see, it is that. Now, imagine how you feel if Neme just comes and say that, Mommy, this is Neme. And when I say, what's that one? Why are you telling me this is Neme? I know who you are. Just ask what you want to ask. That's what we think, is that when we get to the Father, and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me. This is, since I'm asking in the name of Jesus. That's not asking in the name of Jesus. You're just mentioning. Mentioning and asking are not the same. Mentioning simply means that the only time mentioning makes sense is if you are asking with the consciousness that this name is my stand before the Father, that he sees me exactly as he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember he told them in John's gospel. Now, again, I'm taking time to let some of these things sink because it's so different from the way we have been taught. That's why that teaching that we previously had is giving us issues, because what we've been told is that it's by proxy. You know that if I just use the name, the Father has no choice but to answer, and you are right. The only place where you are wrong is that you are thinking the name is persuading the Father without knowing that your presence is enough persuasion. Because your presence and the presence of Jesus is the same. Do you understand? It's the same. So it's not that you are one separate, the name is separate. Mm-mm-mm. You and the name now, there's no difference. Because it's the name of a son. It only belongs to sons. Your being a son immerses you in the name, the rights of the name, the privileges of the name. When you are asking, it's the same thing as Jesus asking. There is no difference between the two of you. When he's asking and you are asking, there's no difference. The two of you ask equally, have rights equally, and get results equally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's so important that you get it. Because if you get it, your work will be different. Your prayer will be different. These gimmicks that we sometimes go through, you know what I'm saying? Which is obvious that it's unbelief. Then you're trying to persuade God. That if I sing for 30 minutes, I have the plan. If I sing for 30 minutes, by that time God should be ready. He has been ready before you sang. If I call him by different names, by the time I tell him that the way he shakes, it's folly to think that the way you are chanting, because God said we just swell. God is not a man. Those are humanistic ideologies that we have imputed. You know, you don't go to our native language and chant all manner of names. The only person who is getting excited is you in the process. Because God doesn't need to be psyched. Hallelujah. The Bible says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I told you yesterday, imagine my daughter just coming and just, you know, God, what she wants to collect. Because I'm even a man. I'm even fall for it because I'm a man. But God is not a man. It means his thinking is different. And then my daughter just comes and saying, fine daddy. Handsome daddy. No pimples daddy. Wealthy daddy. Charm man of the landlord association. The greatest pastor. And she just wants to ask for something. I was like, what is the problem? What's the issue? Why? I expect that her being my daughter is enough. And children seem to understand this more than adults do. Like all my daughter does is just, she doesn't even give me the luxury of calling. Just send the text, daddy, I need credit, that's all. Shorthand. What does that mean? Credit must land. During that credit, doesn't have anyone that says, don't send anything. And that's if she knows. But transaction will have gone before the one that even finds out. But I'm just saying that she's, you know what I'm saying? This is Sharon. I mean your firstborn. I mean your first daughter. I mean your darling. I mean your, who exactly is to be persuaded? Me or her? So when we go to the rigmarole, it's a lot of times it's not necessarily faith, more of unbelief, because it is like you're trying to, you know, psych God and then psych yourself about why you should. But the best way to know that you have a standing is to allow the word to paint a picture in your consciousness. I am what he says I am. I am his son now. I have what he says I have. The name of Jesus belongs to me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I've been justified by faith. I have peace with God forever and ever. Glory to God. So you declare those things because you need to awaken your consciousness to that reality. But that's who you really are. You're not acting like a son. You are a son. Glory to God. You are a son. It has happened already. Glory to God. It has happened already. And once we understand that, it affects the way we pray. It affects the way we use the name. There's an audacity about using the name. You are not hoping it will work. It has worked. The name is proof that it has worked. Hallelujah. You know, when you take a check to the bank, you are taking the check because you know the account you're about to draw from is loaded. The same thing, that's why if I'm praying concerning health, health is mine, wholeness is mine. So I'm not trying to get the Father to do it. I'm taking from the account of what he has done. That's what it means to use the name. So I can command hell to flow in my body. That's why it is lack of that understanding that makes a believer say, Father, when will you heal me? You're ready, of course. You're already out of the game. Father, when will you do this? When will you do what? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Who also is risen? Who sits by the right hand of God? And who liveth to make intercession for us? Hallelujah. Arguments upon arguments in the scriptures to establish a single fact. If he has delivered his own son, with that son he has freely given us all things. Hallelujah. I make bold to tell you that it's too late for the Father to say no to you, for there's an eternal yes in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's too late. Once you know it's too late, it will never be in prayer that God, when will you what? That's casting aspersions on his integrity. When will you? When he asks, and because he asks, you are now a son, and because you are a son, the inheritance is yours, and you are in the inheritance. Hallelujah. It's not funny when that he hasn't manifested, it's not the same thing as he has it. He has. Let God be true and every man a liar. He has. It's impossible for him to lie. Hallelujah. It's impossible. So when you understand that prayer becomes an experience in reception, manifesting what has been given. It has been given. The most difficult part is that it should be given, and it has been given. Now walk in it. Hallelujah. That's where Philippians 2 verse 12. Look at Philippians 2 verse 12 quickly. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It didn't say work for, it said work out. If he knew to work it out, it's because he has worked it in. You get that? So your working out simply is on the outside. Give expression to what God has accomplished for you on the inside. Look at the next verse. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's why you're working something out. Because he's working in, then you are working out. Hallelujah. He's working in, you are working out. It's too late for God to withhold things from you. Psalm 84 verse 11 is already true. The Lord God is the sun and shield. Psalm 84 says he will give. No. In the New Testament, he has given grace and glory. No good thing can be withheld from you any longer. Hallelujah. It's now your present tense possession. No good thing can be withheld from you any longer. So you need to change your mind. No good thing. If it's a good thing, it cannot be withheld from you any longer. Glory to God. John chapter 16, verse 23. John 16, verse 23. What does it say? And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus is one of the few people first who never used all very, very. Did Jesus use verily? Jesus used verily, verily. Verily, verily is going on. Most assuredly, I say unto you, is the strongest term of affirmation. Strongest terms. So whatever I'm telling you is an undeniable fact. It's absolutely true. That's what it means. Very, very. That's what very, really means. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will what? Give it you. Look at the next verse. Either at all have you asked nothing in my name. Did you see that? So all the prayers that they prayed all the way from the old to this place, nobody has ever prayed in the name of Jesus. Again, remember, what does it mean to pray in the name? It doesn't mean to say, Father, in the name of Jesus. No. Either to have you asked nothing in my name means either to have you asked nothing as a son. To ask in his name means you are asking as a son. And if you are a son, all that the Father has is yours. So it's not that the Father will just give. The Father has already given because you are a son. That's all. So you are not outside looking in as the Old Testament. You are inside bringing others in. Do you see the difference? So either to have you asked nothing in my name means in the same privileges and rights that name affords you, you have asked nothing. That means there's a manner of praying that asking in my name refers to. So asking in my name doesn't mean in prayer you mention my name, because you can mention the name and not be asking in the name. To ask in the name means to ask in the consciousness of a son. How does a son pray? Father, I thank you because the works of my hands are blessed. I thank you because you have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the wisdom that is mine in Christ Jesus. It finds full expression this week. I thank you for the favor that's upon me, for the month is a supernatural month of progress for me. What are you doing? You are acting like a son. Things can never go wrong with a son. Glory to God. You are asking in the name. It means you stand in what the son accomplished, in what Jesus accomplished to become a son, which now belongs to you, and you pray that way. So if you pray contrary to that, that's why he showed us yesterday that what's properly called the Lord's Prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that was given them intermediate. Our Father who art in heaven. That's the first line. It's already wrong. It was okay that time. Your Father is no longer in heaven. If you're a new creation, what Jesus prayed for has come to pass. What did he pray for? Look at John chapter 17. It is a seminar. So you're expected to write. You're expected to study. You're expected to open Bible. John chapter 17. Verse 22. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. Listen, that they may be one. One. Even as we are one. Next verse. And I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now stop. Notice that I in them. When did Jesus get into you? When he became a new creation. Then notice something about Jesus being in you. I in them, thou in me. Where is the Father? Where is Jesus? So where is the Father now? This was a prayer I was praying futuristically. It was yet to happen here. But what was the end result of that prayer? Jesus said, you in me, I in them. If the Father is in Jesus and Jesus is in you, where is the Father now? In you. That they may be one. That's what he said. Be made perfectly one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me. Look at that aspect. And has loved them as thou hast loved me. Why are you loving them as you loved me? Because them are now like him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pardon the English, but them are now like him. If I use that language. Why does he love us like he loves Jesus? Because we and Jesus came from the same womb. And we're exactly like him. Oh, the greatest revelation you can have is to get that knowledge that you and he are exactly alike. I showed you what they told Saul on the road to Damascus. When Jesus appeared, and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? No, Saul said, who are you, Lord? As in, when he didn't meet me, miss, I've never raised my hand against you before. I don't even know who you are. Where have you been? And Jesus was referring to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him. Jesus said, for every Christian you touch me directly. For the church is his body. Hallelujah. That's full identification. He took it personally. That's important. You love them as you have loved me. That means when I come in the name of Jesus, I am actually praying because I know the Father loves me as he loves Jesus. It means he doesn't love me less. Hallelujah. He doesn't love me less. I know your thinking is, no. Jesus, not Jesus. 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 If it's Jesus, God can do anything. He just mentioned your name. For you, God can do anything. And has done everything. You and he are one. Walk around with that consciousness. Have swag. Hallelujah. Walk like you own the land because you own the land. Glory to God. You are God's landed property. Amen. It's important. That's what he was praying about. As he is, so are we. So that prayer has been answered. So when he says that, hitherto have you asked nothing. It means up to this time, up to the time that I became exalted to the Father's right hand, you have never asked anything. Which is, nobody has prayed like a son. And if you see the way Jesus prayed, there was nothing, even when he was physically upon the earth, there was nothing beggarly about his prayers. His prayers were full of authority. Look at what he said at the tomb of Lazarus. John chapter 11 verse 41. Look at what he said on the tomb of Lazarus. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. Now listen carefully. This equivalent to what I said earlier of Nehemiah coming before his mom and saying, Mommy, I know you like me. I know you like me. The mother will start wondering, why are you saying that? If you know I like you, just act like you know. Actions are enough. So you will think that, what is Jesus trying to do? Until you read the next thing that he says. See what he says next. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people we stand by. So he only said it for their benefit. Which means when he's privately talking to Father, he doesn't speak like this. In fact, let me tell you what he really meant. Before he did what he was about to do, so that they won't say that, hey, which power is he using? Hey, this world, nothing can be. What power is he using? So he made sure that it is Father I'm talking to. It is Father. Before he starts saying that, he just like this. Lazar. Come. This here. We have said it. That was a demon. Which they have been accusing him of. So he said, for this presence of this boy here, I said it, but I know. Hallelujah. He prayed like a son prayed. I know you hear me. There was no doubt. You always hear. Can you say that tonight? Can you say that tonight? The Father always hears me. He is my father. I am his son. I'm one with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My prayers are effective. Glory to God. It's so important that we see that. Either two of you ask nothing. Either two of you never pray like a son. That's what he was trying to say. To pray in the name is pray like a son. That's what he means. That's just what he means. It means anything contrary to sonship, you are not praying in the name. So to pray in the name is not just to mention. In fact, the Bible doesn't emphasize mentioning. And so we see the kind of miracles that took place and prayers that hardly was his name even mentioned. So to be praying, our Father who art in heaven, already you already know that he couldn't be talking about the new creation. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. No. The kingdom has already come. He has made us, qualified us to be partakers or inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:12. And has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What do you think a royal priesthood is? You are kings. How can you be a king without a kingdom? There is a kingdom already. You are in that kingdom. So the kingdom has come. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is that will? Jesus seated at the Father's right hand. And a new creation on the heart now. You are God's will. Tell your neighbor you are God's will. God's will has been done upon the earth. You are God's will. That will is so done that Jesus went back to sit. Because he knows everything is in the right hands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us? No. The Bible says we should not trust in uncertain riches but in the living God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy? We have been given already. Hallelujah. And God makes all grace to abound towards you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. So that you having all sufficiency, you are bound unto every good work. It has been given already. And that says, and forgive us. I'm quoting from Matthew 6. Forgive us. As we forgive others, that can you see it's conditional? As we forgive. But what do we have in the New Testament? What do we have? In whom we have redemption. That is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. We don't get forgiven because we forgive. We are already forgiven. My little children, this is what I write unto you, that no man should sin among you. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So I'm giving you facts and proof from the scriptures that this is who you are. Colossians 2:13. See what is Colossians 2:13? You know, if you don't know you're forgiven, sin consciousness will rob you of the reality of your rights. And that's the challenge we have. You can't tell in place of prayer. It even affects the song that we sing. I have come again. We have come again. Father, we have come again. Holy Ghost, come and take one too. Amen. We have come. Where did you go before? You know, we have come again sounds like, what did you do? You my problem. I've come. You shall answer me. That's not his son talking. That's his slave talking. He's hoping for crumbs. But the bread belongs to him. So even in our songs, it reflects. Even songs we've sang that with all confidence, because we didn't really, you know, we didn't really stop to examine the wordings. We just love the melody. When the saints, when this, I'm marching on, I'm marching on. When the saints are marching on. Abi, what does it say? Lord, I like to be in. So you're not in the number. But you're hoping you'll be in the number. Can you see the problem with that song? You're hoping you'll be in the number. So it's easy for people to deceive you that, you know, is your name in the book of life? Are you sure? Is your name written there? Are you really sure? And so we went down for altar calls, where after the altar call, and you come on, the minister will not pray. You have prayed. And when you finish praying, you believe. Didn't you believe? You receive, isn't it? After you have prayed, the minister will not say, amen. So you can see unbelief in practical demonstration. Father Lord, look at this, your children. Have mercy on them. I thought we just received mercy now. Have mercy on them. Write their name in the book of life. I'm just showing you how unbelief is perpetuated. We come for a prayer. We have all prayed. Then the elder now says, amen. Father, once again, we ask you. He has just canceled all our prayers. I'm just saying that. Once again, we ask you, in this coming year, help us. I'm saying, amen. I said, so, you are perfect unbelief. And it goes on repeatedly. This is where the problem is. We're not praying with the consciousness of a son. Father, I know I'm not worthy. Then why did you come? Who told you to come? What are you doing here? If you're not worthy, stay outside. It sounds like a statement of humility. It's a statement of foolishness. Because your statement is contrary to what he has said. How can answers come? And we think it's humility. Father, I know I'm not worthy. What are you doing here? No son of his is unworthy. They are his sons. They carry his worthiness. They carry status. They have obtained his own standing. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Our righteousness is of him. So for you to doubt your righteousness is to say his righteousness is inferior. For you don't have your own, you have his. And his is valid forever. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's so easy to go through the motions. This is how unbelief is perpetuated. Can you see? That's what happens. Why? Religious praying that seems good in our ears. And that's why I said that as a pastor in studying people, if I ask you to come and take prayer, I know where you are. Where you're coming from. From your prayers. Look at that Colossians 2:13. Colossians 2:13, please. See what it says, Colossians 2:13. All right. Tell your neighbor, can you read in English? Can you read English? Get an answer, get an answer, get an answer. All right, see what it says. And you being dead. When were you dead? When you were lost in the world. Dead in your sins and your circumcision of your flesh. As he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know what he's saying in that verse of scripture? When he quickened you, he forgave you. If you are not forgiven, you are not quickened. To make you alive is that you were born out of sin. You and sin no longer have fellowship. It can't be associated with you. Having forgiven you all the prayers of your birth, including you being forgiven all trespasses. Hallelujah. So no argument. Are we forgiving sins of the past? I know. Sins of the present? I know. What about sins of the future? No. Plus sins of the future. Everything. You and sin don't have it. That's why I taught yesterday, I know. You will never find anywhere in scripture where you are taught to confess your sin. No. Confess what God has done about your sin. He has been forgiven. Hallelujah. in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. We have it. Say, I have it. Say, I have it. Because I have it, I'm God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. If I'm God's righteousness, I must have the forgiveness of sins. Both of them work together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So, that prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that was given to them. The real Lord's Prayer is found in that John 17 that we just read. That John chapter 17 says a lot about what will happen after he rises from there. 1 John chapter 5. Quickly, as we round up. 1 John chapter 5. Some things I didn't touch at all. 1 John chapter 5. Glory, glory, glory. Let's read from verse 9. This is music. Hallelujah. This is music. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is is more authentic. So we have learned to receive the witness of men, but you are about to hear God's witness now. That's God's personal testimony. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. Look at that witness now. He that believeth not the son of God has the same witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record God gave of his son. And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Look at the next verse. He that has the son has life. Hallelujah. Say, I have life now. The very life of God abides in me. That life makes me a son. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. It's greater. It exceeds any other witness. And this witness of God, that God has given to us eternal life, and that life is in his son. It's not that God gave you eternal life and then added Jesus. No, the life is in his son. When he gave you Jesus, he gave you eternal life. That's what he's saying. See what he says in verse 13 now. See what he's saying. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Stop. Notice the phraseology. This is have I written unto you that believe. Say, I believe on the name of the Son of God. What does it mean to believe on the name of the Son of God? You have eternal life. That's what it means. Shall I read that again? Take it slowly. Read again. These things have I written unto you that believe. So John is writing those who believe. Say, I believe. I'm not being asked to believe. I already believe. That I may know that I won't have eternal life. See what it says again. That you may believe on name of Solomon. That is not in the original text. Do you have anybody here who is not using King James? You are not using. Let me see. Yes, ma'am. New Living Translation. Read that what it says. I write this to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. You notice that the other part is not there. If you read NIV, you read ESV, American Standard Version, you will not see that last part. So that you may know. So after that verse, I'm reading to you who believe in him, so that you may know you have one eternal life. So the other part that's added, that says again that you may know you have, that part is not there. Hallelujah. That part is not there. In the original King James, even italicized to show that it was added. So other translations completely omitted the why. This is the full message. I've written these things to you. You who already believe in the name of the Son of God, and that your believing is what it means, that you may know that you have one eternal life. That when you receive the Son, this is what it means. Since you believe on the name, what does it mean to believe on the name? It means to believe the gospel. And if you believe the gospel, you believe on the name, what it means is that you already have what? Eternal life. What is eternal life? You have life as God has it. That's why you can be called God's Son. Then look at what it says next. Go back to KJV now. And verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. Glory to God. What is the confidence? What is the confidence? What is the confidence? He has the Son, has this life. That you have the same life that he has. That's the confidence that we have in him. It is not just having a life. It is knowing you have the life that's the confidence. Listen carefully. There are people who have the life, but they don't know they have it. Why is John writing? I'm writing unto you that believe on the name, that you may know. It is in knowing that produces the confidence. Glory to God. It's subtle, but it's very important. So having the life doesn't produce confidence. Knowing you have the life is where confidence is. That's why you see two different believers, separate experiences. How can you are complete in him who is the head of all principality, be running away from demons? Why? How come? You are not of the same kidder. By inheritance you have obtained a more excellent name, even than the angels. Hallelujah. How can you? I remember years ago on campus, the way my mouth used to move. There's no way they will not call you when problem starts. So this young man just called me when he said that there's an old friend of his, a lady who just came, and the lady is possessed. She's a witch. And that the lady is in his room. I should come. Said, he sneaked out of the room. Can I please come now? If you don't know who you are and what you have, here's what we used to do back in those days. I shall go in. Because, you know, they've seen you preaching. And you're preaching boldly. The Bible says that long, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Then God gave witness. So when you're speaking boldly, people take notes. This one knows what he's talking about. When trouble starts, guess who they come for? You. They were bold. So if you don't really know, here's how you pray as you're going. Father, Lord. Oh, this is a computer yesterday. Even one of this money. Forgive me. Where did you get it from? You heard the story. That the demon asked somebody, you. Hey. With the party you went to yesterday, you. And it's all lies. What story is that lies? I mean, can you imagine? You say, you too want to cast me out. Those stories are in true. I don't know where people just spread. They just spread. Ah, the stories we heard, they were terrible. And then you have to get more authority and power to them that's necessary. So he said, Pastor, you have not met this girl. What this girl has done, she has killed three lecturers. So I got there. I entered the room. I didn't know that. No, they're always smallish. One tiny thing like that. I just entered the room. I didn't ask any question. I just lay my ass. Just fell on the power. 2 minutes, it was all over. If you stay there, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, you come out. Come out. Come. You don't know what you are doing. You don't know what you are doing. Imagine Jesus negotiating. Come out. 1 o'clock. Come out. It's now 3. Come out. I'm the field marshal. Come out. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. That's the problem. You are open to work. It's not hope. We use that name unconsciously. It's an unconscious. You just know that where you are, they can't stand there. As he is, so are you. And one of the greatest confidences you have is this. Your standing has nothing to do with your works. Hey, it has everything to do with your nature. As he is, so am I. So I'm not going to check what I've been doing. I'm just going to stand as who I am. Hallelujah. As he is, so I am. I have life like he has it. Glory to God. When I speak along that line, things happen. Hallelujah. I don't check to see if there's results. There must be results. There has to be results. That's what it means to use them. You speak with authority. Well, I don't know how many people I've prayed for. Something is bothering me. I just place my hands upon them. And I'm sure they're usually curious. Like, Pastor is not saying anything. Sometimes I don't need to say anything. I'm just ministering life to you. Why? I am a life giver. Like he's a life giver. And I've taken care of many health issues that way. And you know, because they are traditionally waiting. He will still say the name of Jesus now. No. I'm using the name without saying the name. Saying the name doesn't mean you are using the name. There's a difference. I'm using the name. I'm a son. I'm a life giver. I'm of the last Adam. Hallelujah. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam is a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. I administer power. All power has been given. All that power is in me now. Exceeding great power, I'm ministering. Hallelujah. I'm command, and strange things happen. Always do. The only times I speak out, a lot of times, is because I see that there's confusion in the person's face. Wow. This man is not even saying anything. Before they start wondering, what is he using? Hallelujah. Say with me, as he is, so am I. Hallelujah. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We round up now, look at, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Now let's read this properly now, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Two ways to read it. Based on verse 13, what is this saying? Let me read what it really says. This is the confidence that we have in him. Listen, that we ask, if we ask anything, it is in accordance with his will to hear us. Should I say that again? What is his will? His will is to hear us. That's what he's saying. Should I say that again? So you will think. It is his will to hear us. That is his will. If we ask anything, it is his will to hear us. He's not saying that if I'm asking according to... No. The according to and his will are together. The asking is different. He's not saying if I ask anything. You know, that's where confusion starts. Yeah, this thing I'm asking. Is it his will? It's not. You are his will. Hallelujah. You are his will. Listen carefully. Let me give you an illustration so you get it. God, we're going to start praying in the spirit. I didn't have time to get into that. Maybe next we'll start going to some of those things. Because praying in the spirit is praying in the name. Only sons can pray in tongues. It's a unique language. He that speaketh in an own tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. Who is God? Father. It's a unique language between sons and their father. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray in that language tonight. We're praying in the spirit to the Father. With the Father, we have perfect fellowship. Glory to God. Is an unlimited line of communication. So here's that illustration now. So you understand what it says. You don't say, this thing I'm about to ask, is it according to God's will? That is not what he's saying. Not at all. The prodigal son came and told the father, give me a portion of the inheritance that belongs to me. He wasn't asking whether the father liked it, but he knew that the inheritance belonged to him. He took it. He didn't tell the father what he was going to use it for. He just took it and he went. And the father gave it. So he wasn't a mother. The way I'm even asking, I wonder what to use it for. You see, that's what religion does. This thing I'm asking, will God be happy? All that I have is thine. All that I have is what? Thine. How you use it is your business. The father gives freely. Hallelujah. He gives lavishly. Why? He is Father. Hallelujah. So he's not saying, if I ask, if it's according to his will. According to his will, according to his will, he hears. It is in accordance to his will that he hears us. Why? I've written this unto you that believe on this one, so that you may know you have eternal life. You have life as the Father has it. That's why it's according to his will that the word hears us. Hallelujah. Did you get that tonight? Did you get that? So this confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, it's according to his will that he won. Here's the next verse. And we know, we're not guessing. We know. If it is his will to hear us, we know. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we... Did you see whatsoever now? Say whatsoever. Can you see? It can't be saying what you ask must be according. He said whatsoever. That will contradict it. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we stand to your feet. You are going to pray because you know. You are going to pray because you know. You are going to pray like a son. You are going to pray with the authority of a son, with the boldness of a son, with the standing of a son, with the privileges of a son, with the assurance of a son. You know it's according to his will to hear you. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Lakasto bakaste letishta. Ene graste ke subrogosta. Ene negala daste. Ene neke ke tila ga kastike sebrogota letishta. Esuzobrosta blagato miasta. Ey, geke, gekula bakuta sita. Ele nembra daste. E mangro bakasto brogota dieta site. Ele negataste. Ele nama da blastike sete brogota dishte. Ene kele batiko subragata. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. You see, when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the exact plan, the will and purpose of the Father. So when we pray in the Spirit, we receive interpretation mostly because just to enlighten our minds. It's not because we need interpretation for it to work, but just to enlighten so that your mind can be, you know, at par with your spirit when it comes to the things that the Father is doing and what He's working out. Hallelujah. And so many of us set out so many things. Hallelujah. Many people will walk, you know, they will stand in their offices. And when they do, certain cycles of oppression will just be no more. They will just cease to operate. They will no longer be, the affliction in that dimension will just cease to operate. You won't have to rebuke it. It will just cease to be. Because you've stepped where you are supposed to be. You're walking where you are meant to be. You're walking the authority where you are meant to be. Those things will just stop. You won't see any sign of it. Repeated failure, it will just stop. Hallelujah. It will just stop. Hallelujah. And you will accomplish much. Hallelujah. Yeah, you will accomplish much. Glory to God for heaven. Hallelujah. Let's give Him praise and thanks. Give Him praise and thanks. Glory. Nothing is big enough to hold us down. Nothing. Nothing is big enough. Nothing is strong enough to hold us down. Thank you, Father. From the beginning till now, we give you praise. Thank you. Almighty things are done. Glorious things are spoken of us. Awesome things are wrought. Decision. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.